You are listening to KYRS 881 and 92.3 FM. It's Federica and Stella on the show. So did you hear? Welcome, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. So this is actually a separate recording from the show that we're going to dive into today. The show that went live on the air about this topic, we had some sound issues with. So I'm kind of just cutting in and I tried to salvage the bit of the episode that had been recorded over, but it was pretty unsalvageable. There was like music blaring over the recording for the first half of the episode. So unfortunately, we kind of lost that first chunk of the episode, but there was still a lot of good conversation left. So today we're going to continue talking about what makes a community culturally diverse, or what makes a community culturally rich. We started this conversation in the past week at the time of my recording this. This is a two-part conversation, and if you recall, and you haven't listened to that previous episode, basically we talked about what makes a community a vibrant place to live, and we included things like ethnic and cultural diversity, how many different cultures exist in one space in that city, or, you know, it could be any kind of community, but we talked specifically more about cities. We also talked about visibility, you know, how visible are those cultures in a given community? Is it integrated? Is the diversity visible and celebrated? Or is there a lot of separation and is the diversity in that community kind of hidden or kept out of sight, out of mind, etc.? Accessibility was another one that we talked about. So this means things like, you know, are there any community spaces? Are there places and events that are designed to bring people together? We also had other ideas on there, like intellectual diversity. Is there, you know, an academia, or I guess an academic culture present in the city? Things like arts as well, I would kind of throw under the intellectuality and academia category. Is there a good music scene? Is there a good creative scene, etc.? And let's see what else we had on here. I'm kind of going off the top of my head, but those were the big ones we really ended up discussing. And a lot of these factors kind of play into each other. And there were a few more other things we touched upon. I encourage you to go back and listen to the part one of this conversation if you haven't yet. It'll definitely kind of help explain things further. But in today's show, we spent some time thinking about if we know of any places that kind of fit all these categories. And Stella came up with the idea of London, the city of London. And so we spent the first part of the show talking about some statistics she found. Again, unfortunately, we don't have a lot, some of that, the more specific details of the conversation were lost, but the big points we talked about was that, you know, London has some of the most, London is one of the most culturally diverse and also integrated cities, certainly that I've ever visited and that she's visited, you know, from our personal experience, but also probably one of the more integrated cities of the world. Of course, maybe we have a little bit of Western bias here, but again, we're also speaking from our personal experiences. So yeah, London is very culturally diverse, and she said that there were like over 300 different languages spoken in London. There are 4 separate UNESCO sites in just the city of London alone, which for those of you who are not familiar with UNESCO, UNESCO is basically a branch of the United Nations whose job it is to protect and preserve sites of national heritage or world heritage. So think of locations that have some kind of cultural significance to a specific country or to the world. The Notre Dame, I'm pretty sure, is a UNESCO site, for example. There's a lot of different UNESCO sites all over the world. So, but it's interesting to see, you know, so many in just one city. Next, our conversation moves on to talking about community spaces, which brings us to the London music scene. And Estella leads us into the conversation with some statistics she found.
Cool. Anything else cool that you wanted to share about London specifically?
Yeah, we were talking about like activities that brings mm-hmm. people together. And I found out that there are like over 22,000 music performances in London.
In a year?
Yeah.
Wow. 22,000 performances. So like concerts.
Yeah.
Events, festivals, etc. 22,000, that's a lot. So that must include like even small venue shows. And
pretty sure.
Well, of course, London is also host to some of the most legendary venues, like the Boiler Room. I think the Boiler Room is in London. Printworks, which sadly is shutting down. I think Printworks, it's an old factory that was converted into a nightclub. And they do, they've been a lot of electronic music world, a lot of really amazing sets there. It's particularly in the techno genre. I would love to catch a show there. It's like every time I see a video of the Printworks, it's like, oh man, someday. But I'm pretty sure it's being shut down for renovations or something. So, but there's a lot of really great venues in London. I can attest to that from just kind of the perspective of like the EDM world. The UK has a pretty robust, the UK in general has a robust EDM scene, but London in particular, there's tons and tons and tons and tons of stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and then we're also talking about the culture and how the culture is,
quindi
condivisa la cultura. I'm just going to ripetere in Italian.
No, that's okay. One more time in Italian?
Cioè, volevo dire che ci sono più di 192 musei e 11 musei nazionali. Quindi stavo parlando del fatto che la cultura sia...
So, like, intellectual and artistic
yes.
culture. Yeah, okay, so there's... a great point. One of the metrics that I came up with here is the intellectual and artistic... culture, a community that is that has a lot of like intellectual centers or artistic centers mm-hmm. and activity. That's something that I think is very enriching in a community in London. So you said
there are over 192 museums and 11 national museums, and one of those national museums is the British Museum.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot of museums. Yeah. I think, you know, I'm not. Are you a museum person?
It depends what kind of museum, and it depends who am I going with in a museum. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Like, I have a lot of fun if I go like with my best friend, but if I go like alone or with somebody else, I don't know.
Yeah,
it always depends.
Yeah, that's true. I think I'm kind of on the same page. It depends on the type of museum, and I think. You know, there's your traditional, like, there's your history museums, there's your art museums. Mm-hmm. But what I think specifically, if we're talking about, like, what tells me, like, a city is really kind of... This to me, is a sign that tells me the city is not only, like, culturally rich with art, like, artistic, you know, in the artistic flavor, in the artistic mm-hmm. way, but also will show how much a city is, like, developing and... how modernized the city is like what kind of variety of museums they have. Yeah. That's just like something I've noticed. Cities that have a lot of different like types of museums, like maybe they have some like old history museums and old art museums, like, you know, some talking time periods that would go way back in art history all the way to very modern contemporary museums. Like, that's one of the things that I like about like Amsterdam, for example. And I know you. I saw you had some notes about Amsterdam there too, but
yeah, not so many things. But
you know, it's always a great sign when you can find a city that has like a great like. You can go see a Rembrandt, a Monet, or you know some the artworks done by like Michelangelo, like the ancient greats, and then go somewhere else and go in an immersive. Like trippy psychedelic, you know, one of like those museums where you walk in and the whole room is like an illusion of lights, and it's, you know, very modern contemporary, and then you can go see a museum about history and go see all, you know, a lot of different, just a wide breadth mm-hmm. of things called like represented, because that to me shows that like, okay, the city's like really, this is a community that's really up and with the times and has a lot of rich history all the way from past, present, and going into future. So it's also like a place that's tied to both its history and the future.
Yeah, exactly.
London, I think definitely that's a great, yeah, there's a great example of a city that has a lot of like both of those aspects.
Yeah. And talking about that, there are like 200 festivals in London.
Festivals like,
yeah,
in general? Or like,
yeah, in general.
Okay, so not just like music festivals, because that would be insane. Yeah.
No.
So things like, other different kind of cultural festivals. Mm-hmm. And okay.
Yeah. So I think this is one. Yeah. These are like activities that can bring people together.
Right, right. Opportunities for connection. And that's, I guess, that's why I do like festivals so much. That's what they do. They bring people together. And it doesn't, you know, I guess I'm always thinking like music festival. That's my default. But there's also like food festivals. There's art festivals and festivals honoring traditions and history. And those are some of my favorite things to like do and experience in the city. So have you been to any in London?
I don't remember.
Fair.
It's been a lot of time.
Yeah, fair enough. I particularly, you know, I keep coming back to food, but food festival, besides music festivals, if I were to pick what other kind of like festivals are my favorite, food. Food or like beer, brewery, like anything edible, consumable, are my favorite guys. You know, I'm a foodie, so. That's always an important thing to me in a community.
Food is also an opportunity for connection.
Absolutely. I wanted to see like if there was I probably just spent a whole bunch of time talking about food. Like it's a part of the episode I'm like waiting to get to, but I know there are a couple other things you wanted to mention with since we're talking about London. Yeah, what else? Like, what else stands out to you about the city that what do you like love most about it?
I love that it's a
multicultural
multicultural city. I really like that there are a lot of activities.
You have any other things that like? Nice statistics to share from your list. I'm so glad she did statistics, because that's like one of those things that I don't take time to, I don't like love taking time to do, but it's a nice way to show like, okay.
Yeah. I numbers, think there metrics. Are like 800 bookshops and 325 public libraries.
Wow.
Yeah.
And we, tea shop. Oh, I love that. So coffee shops, tea shops, of course, that's a huge part of the culture there. That is one thing I will say I really like. A culinary, I guess, alimentare. Mm-hmm. I don't think we have a word for that in English, like food and drink goods.
Yeah.
That's one of the good food and drink goods that the UK has to offer, in particular London, is the tea. Yeah, I've gotten always, my stepmom is a travel writer, so sometimes she travels to London for her work, and she always comes back with, like, bags of tea, like, huge, like, Ziploc bags full of tea that she acquires in London. Libraries, too, and I'm sure they're, like, old library. I love old school libraries.
Yeah.
Like, the ancient, like, in old buildings. I went to a really cool library in Amsterdam when I was there in October, and it was like something, it looked like it was straight out of Harry Potter, and I just want to like grab some tea and just hang out in here all day. If I lived in London, I'd probably be doing that all the time.
Yeah.
Just like, especially when the weather is, you know, how it is there. They seem to master indoor activities and things to do quite well, so.
And there's another thing that we were talking about, like progress.
mm-hmm. development.
And yes.
Is a city, if it's a growing and evolving city, or is it, kind of?
Mm-hmm. There are, in London, there are more EV charging station than any other city in Europe or in the United States.
Oh, cool. So that's their, I've noticed that. I think London actually does a pretty good job of being on top of going green and environmental projects and going with renewable energy. It's nice to see the renewable energy spreading to more other parts of, like, smaller communities. But, yeah, that's always something that stands out. Is that something that stands out to you? Like, if a city has a lot of is really leaning into renewable energy and sustainability.
Yeah.
Nice. Because I think I wanted to talk a little bit about, like, what aspects of the culture, of the things we've discussed, which one is the thing that's most important to you? And what are the things that you notice most? So which of these aspects of community are the ones that stand out to you most, and what stands out to you? So as far as, like, what's a good example of something that stands out to you and that makes a community that you like? So you're saying, I don't know if I'm phrasing this well. So progress and development.
Definitely.
If it's a city, and I think that's an important one for me too. But I like there to be a balance between tradition and history, but also progressiveness. Like, I think you can be historical and be a community that values and cherishes tradition, but also embraces, like, progress and change. And, there's a balance there. So I think a city, when a community does a good job of balancing those two, that's a really big, that's an important value to me for a community.
Yeah. I agree.
So I guess what kind of things do you look for to recognize those values? You said environmental.
Yeah.
Say, like, sustainability. I think I noticed that too. I think for me it's like inclusiveness. Do I see a lot of representation? Like, are there, and I see this a lot in, like, nightlife, because I do a lot of nightlife activities, and I like to see, like, communities that embrace a lot of, making space, like, having safe spaces for people, that are, like, LGBTQ inclusive, that, there are signs, like, it is, like, visible that there are organizations and businesses engaging in progressiveness, like social progressiveness, and making safe spaces for different kinds of people. That's something that really stands out to me. Also architecture, that's always something. I love,
like, ancient architecture.
I love both, like, ancient, like, if a city is really old, and, I love historical, like, cities that where the buildings are very rich in history, or I have to say, like ultra modern, very new. Maybe I just have a distaste for, like, mid-century. I think I just don't like anything. Like, I tend to like anything that's before, like, from, like, 1920 and earlier, or, like, ultra modern. But I feel like architecture from, like, if we're just talking about architecture here, after, like, the Great Depression, like, from, like, the 1930s to mid-century to present, has just been very bland and boring and industrial and just, like, bleh. So. And that's a lot of American cities, I think. And also, those are the kind of cities that tend to be built for cars, not people. So that also takes away from, like, the visual appeal of a community, Is the community, is it nice to look at? That really makes a difference. Because if it's nice, if a community has, like, spaces that are nice to look at, nice to spend time in, that creates, like, opportunities for connection. People want to spend time there. And if you don't have that, then, it really takes away. You think these things are, like, trivial, but really it makes an impact.
Yeah, so, totally.
Yeah. I am. Okay. Is there anything else? Like, what do you think out of all these topics we talked about, diversity, visibility of, you know, how visible are the different cultures in a community, access to connection, activities, traditions?
Well,
which one is another one that's important to you?
I think diversity.
Yeah, same.
Because I really enjoy discovering new cultures, and this is also one of the reasons why I'm here.
Right.
And yeah, and I like when a culture is inclusive, like you said.
Mm. I like being able to, experience different, feel like I'm like traveling to different countries when I'm in, but without leaving the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, in a way, like you can get a taste of so many different like cultures from around the world in one place. And then I would say for me also, like, access to connection is a huge one. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's probably the most important one to me overall, because that's really that connection is what community is built on. Mm-hmm. And communities that have access to connection in mind, I think, are developed in a way that helps promote all these other aspects.
Yeah.
And so I think that's kind of like the base, and then you kind of build these other pieces on top of it.
I also think visibility is a big one.
Visibility.
Because you can have a lot of activities or, access to connections. But if you don't know that these activities exist.
Yeah. It's hard to find. Yeah, you're right. It's like if you don't know it's there, then how can you benefit from it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that. And that's interesting. It's hard to say. Like, what does that look like, in your opinion? What does good visibility, cultural visibility look like?
That's a good question.
Yeah. I'm really kind of thinking about it, too.
Yeah.
I think, for me, like, being able to just see different types of, like, businesses represented by different cultures in a community, like throughout the city, having public spaces, a community that has a lot of public spaces that are easy to access and find,
yeah,
and that you don't have to travel like 20 miles to get to, or you know, also, I guess, kind of a add on to that, but having like public transit or just opportunities for transportation that make it easier to get to those types of spaces. Yeah. That's access to connection and visibility as well. So, yeah, just how many spaces are there? Does the community have spaces for people to gather? And is it easy to access? I think. Do you see different, you know, kinds of people of different ethnicities and cultures, you know, out and about in the community and mingling with each other, owning businesses, etc. Festivals.
Festivals,
like you're saying in London, that's a huge part of like visibility as well.
Yeah.
Does the community take time to cherish and represent the different parts of its culture and, you know, having these events to celebrate and honor the different cultures within the community?
Yeah.
That's a huge part of visibility. I think this is probably a good time for us to take a quick break and we can continue the conversation. We're a little past, yep, got just about 20-ish minutes left, closer to 15. So we'll take a quick break and hop back in. And then I want to talk a little bit more about the other aspect of community, the part of the show I've been waiting for, which is food.
Yeah.
So, thank you all for tuning in so far. And again, sorry if there was any, I know we had, looks like we had a little bit of sound bleed earlier in the stream. So, apologies for that. For those of you who were listening earlier in the show, hopefully that's been fixed. Stay tuned and we'll be right back. Thank you all for staying tuned in, or welcome if you're just tuning in. Today we've been talking about, again, about what makes a community rich besides wealth. what makes a community culturally rich. So we've had a kind of a conversation going a little bit over what we talked about last week, and then we've been talking about the city of London and mm-hmm. how London meets a lot of these metrics that we've kind of come up with here, diversity, visibility of diversity, access to connection, activities, intellectual and artistic culture, traditions and history, development and progressiveness, and last but not least, we didn't get to this one last week, and now we are getting to it, food.
Food.
So, I think, you know, when I think about, like, what makes a place worth visiting, to me, food is, like, near the top of my list.
Yeah.
Is the food good there?
Yeah.
And I think because food offers, there's represents so many aspects of culture, like the really the heart and soul of a place. When you taste a local cuisine of somewhere you're traveling to, for example, you are really getting in touch with like the roots of that mm-hmm. community. You know, what did people prepare when what food was available to them? And you really get to see a window into like the history of the community, of a culture. You get to see, you know, how important is the value of sharing a meal? You know, what food brings people together. And I think in communities and cultures that tend to be more food oriented, there seems to be, I think, a parallel with like how community oriented those cultures tend to be. And like more collectivist communities, I think really have a lot, tend to have a lot of rich food cultures as well, because these are things that bring people together. And it, you know, with Italy, of course, we have to talk about food culture in Italy because yeah. Italy is a great example of that. Yeah, what are your thoughts? You know, living in Italy.
Well, yeah, I think that especially in Italy, food is a very important part of culture. And about what we were talking about earlier, I think it's a very important part of our culture because it's an opportunity to bring people together. Mm-hmm. Like, we actually sit together and eat together and talk and share.
Yeah.
And a thing that I think here is... it's not the same that when you go to a restaurant in Italy, you stay there for like 2-3 hours. If you go for lunch, you can stay there until 6 p.m. or yeah. something. Yeah. Until they close sometimes.
Right.
Because you just stay there, you eat. Yeah, but it's not... I think food is just a way to stay together. And then you use that time to share out. And yeah.
The food is what brings people together, and then yep. when you're together, you cherish that time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You enjoy staying together, and yeah.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I always see that, like, see, this is something that Dad, and my mom's here listening to this, Dad, you know, who was in Italy, whenever he would come to the United States. In fact, even when he was here this summer for my wedding, we went out to... restaurants, and he was always surprised, like, oh my god, I forgot how quick they come out here. They're just like bam bam bam. And like the wait staff, because they want to turn tables over to make more money. Like, that's and it is that always very different, like the speed at which like the waiters come up. I find it irritating here in mm-hmm. the United States. It's like I sit down, I haven't even had time to look at the menu, like, don't breathe down my neck.
Well, sometimes it happens in Italy too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you ready to order? No, just give me a second.
Right. But at least they let you stay there. Like, I hate it when you're like when the waiter just brings you your check without asking.
Mm-hmm.
That happens here in the United States all the time. In Italy, that would like, no, you'd be like, that's poor, very poor form. But yeah, I don't like it here. Like, sometimes you're just sitting there and hanging out, talking, having a meal, and the waiter just like rings you up and basically like, all right, it's time to go, move. Like, that's irks me. But I think you're right. And I think there is, I was gonna say that I definitely noticed like the amount of just like time that people dedicate to food
yeah
is different. There's a lot of time dedicated to food in Italy. And the time that, like, people take to prepare a meal, to sit down at the meal. And people, you know, even most in work culture, if you have a regular day job, like in an office or something, I know that this has been eroding away a little bit in more recent years, but a lot of businesses close midday so you can go home for lunch. Mm-hmm. And then go back to work later, and then they reopen. But it's, you know, that aspect of coming together and sharing time together over food is a very important part of the culture. And you can see in how, like, the different types of cuisine.
Yeah.
What's your favorite? Like, is that something that you, do you ever miss that? Like, I know I miss that a lot, living in the United States.
Yeah. Well, there were some times that, especially when I first came here, then I went out with Kate and mm-hmm. just spent like 1 hour out, just eat and then go home. Just
so boring. At the beginning,
felt weird because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm used to just stay out for hours and just talk and stay out until midnight, until the restaurant closed.
Yeah. Well, I think that that's really tied to, like, the value that people put on spending time, like, on spending time just socializing,
mm-hmm.
just spending time together. And, you know, we have such a go-go-go culture, especially now in the United States. We're so frenetic and frantic and constantly on the move and trying to get to the next thing. It's like that this isn't new. I think this has been a thing in the U.S., culture for a long time, but I especially see it now. Like, people just don't take the time to hang out and be together, and like it's kind of sad to see that in some ways. I think that's like what life is actually about, not the other way around. The hustle and bustle, and the hustle mm-hmm. and bustle is good, but balance. So I think food, culinary, cities and communities that have a rich culinary representation of and food, different types of food too. That's important to me too. Not only like mm-hmm. the amount of time, like how people cultivate food, but I think we talked about this a little bit in the last show. But cities where you can have different kinds of food is one thing I will give the U.S. over. Like, I think the U.S. has in its favor, depending on the city. Again, it varies a lot depending on the city, but like cities with good food culture in the United States here, I was saving things, places like Miami, other good food cities, New York City, of course, there's got, well, everything, anything and everything. Let's see, what are other good food cities? Ma, you got any ideas?
LA.
Yeah, LA has a lot of variety for sure. A lot of great, like, Seattle, even Seattle has, I love, like, I mean, Seattle has, of course, known for seafood and, a lot of like really good Asian, and Pacific Islander restaurants. So variety, that's a big thing for me.
Yeah. That's one thing. I think we already talked about this, but in Italy, the food is good, but we don't have a lot of, variety of food.
Mm-hmm. We did talk about this a little bit, and I think to clarify, it's not that there aren't, there's lots of different, well, what it means looks different in Italy, like between different cultures, different mm-hmm. regions.
No, I think the problem is that it's not that we don't have a lot of variety of food. It's, the problem is that people are not open-minded enough to like
try different cultures, food from different cultures. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
I think that's the problem.
Italy, I think, is very traditionalist and preservationist of its food and its food culture, and which is good. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you can do that. I think you can do that and also make room for other exactly. new things. Like, one does not have to cancel the other one out.
Exactly.
And I think in Italy there is this sort of fear that's going to happen, which. I don't think is rational, but yeah, that is true. I think that's one thing Italy could do a little better job of. They have amazing food of their own. Give other you know, give other cultures a chance. There's, mm-hmm. you know, one doesn't have to cancel the other out. But yeah, so I think that's just about the time we have today. And yeah. It was really fun revisiting this topic. There's always, you know, more we can kind of go into. Yeah, if you ever have questions or thoughts about something on the air while you're listening to the show, you can always give us a call at 509-747-3807 or shoot us an email at sodidyouhear@kyrs.org. For this week, I'd be curious to hear like what you think are the important aspects of community culture. But otherwise, I want to thank you all for tuning in. Stella, thank you for the conversation.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll catch you next time.
Bye.